So anyway, we are into Romans chapter 7. We've made it this far. I don't know how long we've been in Romans, but it's been a few weeks. But we're in Romans chapter 7. So if you want to turn there. I was originally going to try to get through the entire chapter, but God had other plans. He shut me down about verse 7. So we'll see how far we get. Romans chapter 7, in the title of this is The New Way. So we hear all the time people saying, hey, I want to turn over a new leaf. I'm tired of my old ways of doing things. I want to go a new way. Or when we maybe get to a point in our life where we're struggling and like everything we've tried seems to not going the way we would like it to. Sometimes I know I've done this before, just want to pack my bags and leave. Just say, you know what, I've tried everything I can, and maybe I need a relocation. Maybe I need to go to another place and start all over. And this is kind of what Paul's going to say here in Romans. He's going to say, there's a new way. That old way has not been working out for you. That old way was actually a curse to you because you could never obtain it. And we talked about it this morning in Bible study. How many have heard the term backslider? We all have, right? And especially if you go to church down in the South, where Bill and I are from. Oh, Billy Joe, where's he been? I haven't seen him lately. Oh, he's backslidden. And to us, that means one distinct thing. He's out there drinking, chasing, smoking, doing his thing, right? And we're like, oh, we need to pray for Brother Billy Bob because he's backslidden. When in reality, if he's saved, he's saved. He's just in the flesh. But yet we want to put it based, we want everything to be based on our performance. So if we look at somebody else and say, you don't look like very much like a Christian right now, and then that's when we get in the flesh ourselves and pass our judgment on to someone else. Because behavior is never a prerequisite to be in God's presence or for him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. In fact, once you are filled, you're born again, you're sealed, you cannot lose your salvation. And that's a principle that we all have to understand before we can really feel secure. Otherwise, we're always going to be in a neurotic, psychotic state, wondering if what I did was good enough, if what I didn't do was not enough, or it was too bad, God doesn't love me anymore, he's disappointed in me. And we'll always be in that state of anxiety and fear until we learn that you're born again of the Spirit. Unless a man be born again of the Spirit, God says. So you're born again. You're with him now. You are his. So you can look like the world and still be saved. Surprise. And you want to look at the characters in the Bible, we can go right to them. David, Moses. And you can look at all these guys' lives, and if you'd have looked at their life at a certain point, you went, dude, you look like an adulterer and a murderer to me. You don't look like a child of God. But then we know what God says. He is a man after my own heart. And when we looked this morning, we looked in Isaiah, why was God mad with the people of Israel? It wasn't because they were out there doing what we normally think of sin as debauchery. We normally think of sin as, I always call it drinking, smoking, chasing. That's just my term for it. That's what we think of sin as. When God wasn't angry, he had met no mention of that. No mention of anybody's performance. He was angry because they were sacrificing to other gods. And they were building other gods and sacrificing on the high places. And you've gone after other gods and you're a stiff-necked, rebellious people. So God is jealous of us. You know, and he says, therefore, I'm going to go to a nation that I didn't call. A people that never called them. I'm going to go to them now. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. So we're looking at the new way. So we don't need to be conflicting. We either belong to him by faith or we don't. There's none of this halfway in, halfway out. So backsliding, as we know it, we all know what that means. Somebody's acting like the world. It's not a term in the Bible. It's you're either with him or you're not. And on any given day, you could look like you're not. And we all have those days. But it doesn't mean, and we have to understand this, we are still his child. We still belong to him. And so the new way. Paul is going to go into the new way. And he is going to say here, Romans 7:1. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Now, Paul's going to make a point here because there's going to be a death. And if you're a believer, there's been a death in your life. You are dead in Christ, but alive, risen and alive in him. So your old man is dead. Here again, don't confuse it with performance, because sometimes it looks like that old man got back up, right? But spiritually speaking, that old man is dead. The new man is in the spirit. And we're going to talk about the way of the spirit. So do you not know, brothers, he's talking to his Jewish brothers here, I am speaking to those who know the law. These would be the Jews. These would be his own people. That the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. And think about this. What's for sure, for certain? What's the three things they always say? Taxes, death. I don't know, but those two things are certain, right? Death and taxes. And some people throw in a third or fourth thing. I don't know, but probably that your interest rates are going to go up or something. I don't know. But those things are certain. Prices are going to go up. That's for certain, right? So Paul's going to make a point here. Romans 7, verse 2 and 3. And this is not a sermon on adultery, guys. Don't get all excited here. This is a simple illustration that Paul's making. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Now, this was the old law. Okay? Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. So Paul's making a point by illustrating this with a marriage. And he goes in to say, Romans chapter 7, verse 4, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ. So how have we died to the law? Through Christ. He was the fulfillment of the law. Donnie, could you do me a favor and close that back door? Thank you. He was the fulfillment of the law. Remember, Jesus was born under the law. He was born under the law, and he came to fulfill that law. So it's not that the law is bad. In fact, Paul's going to say in the rest of this chapter, the law is good. The law is perfect. And Jesus says not one jot or one tittle will pass from that law until heaven and earth pass away. And so the law is a good thing, but it also puts us under the law, puts us under a curse because we can't perform it. So he's saying you've died to that old way of trying to do things so that you may belong to another. And here he's talking about us being married to Christ. And he uses that illustration of being married so that you may belong to another. Well, who would that be? Jesus Christ. To him who has been raised from the dead. There's only one person there. That's Jesus Christ. In order that we may bear fruit for God. Amen? Okay, so he's talking about now we've died, so we're perfectly fine. We're not an adulteress now because we're getting married to a new person, Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we are married to him. Amen? So, you don't have to perform to bear fruit for God. A lot of us think, I've got to go do this, I've got to go do that. And you see it all the time with some of our neighborly churches that want to go door to door, and they think that's what they got to do to get into the kingdom, and they got to go witness, and they got to do this. Now, if you want to witness, I witness 24/7. If you're a believer, you witness 24/7. You don't have to just go up to someone and say, hey, what's your name? Oh, nice to meet you. Let me tell you about Jesus. In fact, a lot of times that turns people off. And they immediately go, you know what? No, You're crazy. I don't have time for you. So the best way to witness is with your life. And here again, I'm not talking about your perfect life, because none of us are perfect. The best way to witness is through our transparency and let people see you're not perfect. Oh, wow. Let people see your faults. Let people see that you're not perfect and point them to the one who is. And say, look, I have a Savior. I'm not perfect. Oh, I saw you out, Chuck, the other day, drinking a beer or riding your motorcycle too fast or whatever, doing whatever. And I say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but He is. And this is why I believe in Him, because I can't do it. So God, you don't have to perform to bear fruit for God. A lot of us think we do. So I put it in here, He planted you. Isaiah 61:3, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. I love that. Say, I'm an oak of righteousness. You are. You are an oak of righteousness. What is an oak tree? Go down to Georgia. You don't see many out here, but go down to Georgia. They have these huge, who do I sound like, Trump? Huge. I'm not running for office, okay? They have these huge live oak trees. They've been there 500-600 years. And I use this as an illustration to when I teach at the Park Ranger Academy, is in your life, how do you think those trees have survived for 500-600 years? Because how many storms, hurricanes, and bad weather comes up the coast of Florida and Georgia? And how many hurricanes and storms run into those trees all the time? Winds 100 miles an hour, rain, all this beating against these trees. And I say, how in the world are they still standing? And I use the word flexibility, because they bend, they're flexible. And if they weren't flexible, they would snap. And so it is a principle in our own lives. We have to be flexible with people, especially with people. When we're dealing with people, we have to stay flexible or we're going to snap on them and just be like the rest of the world. We got to bend. I was talking to Maria about this the other day. When somebody calls you a name, I've been called every name in the book from my former profession. I'm like, I'm okay with that. You can call me whatever you want because I know who I am. Don't let anything bother you. When a person calls you a bad name, hey, have a great day. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry you're having a bad one, but I'm not. And I'm not going to go into your world and have a bad one. And so when you know who you are and you know you're a child of the King and you know you're His son, His daughter, nobody can say anything about you. Nobody. But know who you are. So He waters you. But whoever drinks of the water. Now, where did this verse come from? John 4:14, the woman at the well. Right? And He's telling her, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, how delicious does that sound? We're never going to have to thirst again. That's what, you know, we say, we thirst after righteousness. We really don't. We are filled with righteousness. You know, we thirst out. We did thirst after that. But now He has completed us. So we can rest in that. He nourishes you. Man does not live by bread alone. And I've heard Jennifer quote this one in the back kitchen. Man does not live by bread. Yes, that's right. But every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. And so I put in here Psalm 1:3. This is the Christian, basically. This is the life of the believer. He, she is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about the success of the world. I'm talking about your mental state, your emotional state, your state of being. He's going to prosper you despite what's going on around. And so Romans 7:5-6 tells us this. Now we're going to go back and talk about the law a little bit and how this is really not a good thing. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law. That's curious, isn't it? Well, how are your sinful passions aroused by the law? Well, it's very simple. It's like I was talking the other day, a month or so ago, I made the comment. They put these little speed things up that show you your speed. You know what my reaction to that is? I want to go faster. I want to run that baby up. I mean, you're going to, really? You're going to put that thing up? Yeah. A lot of us, we are like, you're going to tell me I can only do 35 and you're going to show me my speed for the world to see it. Everybody behind me is going to see my speed. Well, I'm going to show you some real speed. Boom. And I'm going to do 95 miles an hour, right? So that's what Paul's talking about. It's like that forbidden fruit. And you wonder why so many men mainly, and it's becoming women, but if you look at the statistics, struggle with pornography. Because it's that forbidden thing. It's that, I can't look at that. Well, let me check out just a little bit. And that's the way the law does with us. The law says, you cannot do this, you must do this. And we go, oh yeah, watch me. All the way back to Adam and Eve. They could eat of every tree. How many trees were there? I don't know, hundreds, thousands. And they probably all were very good tasting, pears, plums, I don't know what, we don't even know, we would say it was the apple, but we don't know it was apple, it was fruit. Yeah, whatever it was. But you can't eat of this tree. And then here comes Satan along and says, hey, you'll be like God if you eat of it. You'll see like he sees, you'll be like him. And ooh, okay, that's forbidden. I'm going to go to, the law kind of does that to us, so it arouses our sinful passions. And it says, we're at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Because remember, if you miss one point of the law, you've missed them all. If you fail at one, and we like to make up our own commandments, right? We'll stick with, okay, don't murder, don't do adultery, but Sabbath day, how many people worked yesterday? How many people worked in the yard yesterday? How many people did anything outside the house? Well, then you violated the Sabbath day. Oh, well, that doesn't count, Chuck. That's the old Jewish thing. Well, yeah, they're all old Jewish law. So you can't just pick and choose, and that's what we do. We pick and choose. Well, I like that one, don't like that one. And then we fail anyway. We pick the ones that we think we can keep. And then the other ones, he didn't really mean that. So, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And this is nothing mystical. This is nothing like, oh, you know, we're going to go do seances up in the mountains or whatever and try to find yourself, because you don't want to find yourself. If you ever have, it's not pretty anyway. And so it's a part, it's not a mystical thing. The Holy Spirit is freely given to those who ask and believe. The Holy Spirit, it's free. And the Holy Spirit lives where? In you. Okay, so everywhere you go, God goes with you. And we have to remember who we are so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the what? Written code. Amen? Amen. New way of the Spirit. First thing I put up here was freedom. How does that sound? You know what's amazing about freedom? And I was listening to, I can't remember who it was. Most people say they want freedom, but they really don't. I find that mind-boggling to me. Who does not want freedom? And the more our own government tries to put stuff on us, the more I resist. I'm like, wait, I'm already paying 50% in taxes, and I'm already, what else do you want? So it's like, we say we want freedom, but we really don't. Case in point, the Israelites. As soon as they get their freedom, they're saying, why did you bring us out here in this wilderness to die? We want to go back. At least we had food and water there and all that. And they're complaining, they're murmuring. A lot of people, I've seen prisoners before in my line of work that want to go back into jail because it was structured there. And they felt comfortable there. And people told them when to eat, when to go to the bathroom. And they don't want freedom. And so the Lord, now the Lord is the Spirit. And with the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what kind of freedom? Freedom from sin. We're no longer sinners. We're declared righteous and holy. We're free from sin. And we make a mistake when we go around and say, well, I'm just a sinner. You're not. You used to be. Now you are forgiven and righteous and clean and holy. And this is where we have to unlearn what we've learned before. Because I used to go around saying, I was a believer, been a believer since I can remember. I was baptized at age 9 in my dad's church. And I always used to tell people, yeah, I'm a wretched sinner. Have you heard what God has said about you? You used to be a wretched sinner. You're not anymore. You're free from that. And we're free from oppression. We're anything that oppresses. We're free from having to be scared or fear. We can be free from all this. And you name it. We're free in Christ. And the new way of the Spirit is another verse I picked out. Joy and peace overflowing with hope. Now, that's a lot to get in one slide. But look. Joy and peace overflowing with hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? Trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. This is the new way, guys. You see, there's no rules. There's no regulations. If you do this, I'm not going to bless you. If you don't do this, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't do this, I'm not going to bless you. There's not that old law, that old relationship going on. This is joy and peace, overflowing with hope, freedom. Romans 15:13 says that. You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you think about that just for a minute, what does the world not have? Take the environmentalists, okay? Now, believe me, I love the environment. Don't cut down any of my trees. I'll be mad at you. I love the animals. I love breathing clean air. I love drinking clean water. I'm not opposed to taking care of what God has created. But they go to the extreme to say they worship. Remember, Romans talks about they became depraved in their mind and they worship the creation rather than the creator. And this is what's happening nowadays. They're worshiping the creation and making it so difficult to, it's idiotic. We need to worship the creator. And besides, I always tell the real hardcore environmentalists, it doesn't matter. We're getting a new heavens and a new earth anyway. Okay? So that's our hope, right? That's our hope that he is going to bring us through. We've made a mess out of it. He's going to fix it. And he's going to do that. So, new way of the Spirit, faith, love, power. You're going to see a couple of these mentioned a couple of times. You're going to see love and power a lot. So, Ephesians says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Through his Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Anything about performance in there? No. If you will be good, I will come and dwell in you. And being good means you have to do these things and you can't do those. No, it doesn't say that. It just says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. If you're rooted in love, guys, who is love? God. If you're rooted in love, nobody can pull you up. Nobody. You can try. You ever try to pull up a stubborn root? You can try. The world can try. Satan can try all he wants. You belong to him. No fear. No fear. Not to say you won't have difficulties, but just to say, good luck trying that. You can't be pulled up by your roots. You're rooted in him, established in him, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, listen to this, how wide and how long and how high, deep and deep is the love of Christ. And see, I've told you this before, we don't preach about his goodness enough. We don't. We preach about, oh, he's going to get you. Oh, he's angry with you. Oh, he's disappointed with you. No. He loves you so much. He died for you while you were yet a sinner. He has remembered your sins. He separated your sins as far as the east is from the west, which is infinity. He remembers your sins no more. So why are you remembering them? We're going to talk about this in a minute. A cleansed conscience. You don't have to go around feeling guilty anymore. We need to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. New way of the Spirit. Power, love. Here's those words again. Self-discipline. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Go look at the protesters around. The first thing they do is snap and yell and scream and throw things like three-year-olds. They have no self-control, no self-discipline. The irony of it is they have to react. They don't just choose to. It's an automatic response because they have not the Spirit of God. When you're looking at violence and you're looking at things like that in the world and you see them on the TV and you wonder, why? This guy just went crazy and shot a guy in the head because he pulled in front of him in a parking place. This stuff happens. And it's right here. They don't have self-discipline. We do. We have love. We have the power to say, you know what? Guy's probably having a bad day. You know what? I'm going to show him a little love. You know what? I'm going to show self-discipline. I'm not going to pull my gun out and shoot him. You know, and this is something that the world doesn't have. And we can see it every day. We have power, love, and self-discipline. Here again, 2 Timothy, power, love, and sound mind. This is one of my favorite verses. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some versions will say self-control again. But a sound mind is self-control. If you don't have a sound mind, you can't control things. You can't have self-control. So here we again, the new way of the Spirit. Power, love, and sound mind. New way of the Spirit, no fear. No fear. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. That includes daughtership. Okay? You know, and when you say the term man, it's mankind. It includes woman. There was man, then there's woman. And the two become one. It's a beautiful thing that God made. So rather, the Spirit you see brought about your adoption to sonship, and we cry, Abba, Father. I love that. You know, you just, there are times in my life when I've had to cry, Abba, Father, if you don't turn things around, if you don't come here now, if you don't rescue me, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And he has every time. He's rescued me every time, and you too. The new way of the Spirit, a new heart. Wow. You have a new heart? Yes. Now we have a heart after him. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So it means that hard heart that you had. We grow up, we're kids, and we have a soft heart. We're out there on the playground, and then we get knocked down. And then, oh, that hurt. And then somebody comes, steps on you on purpose. And then somebody calls you a bad name, and then somebody talks about your mother and your daddy, and you develop this hardness that the world puts on you, and we develop this hardness with God. We're saying, God, if you were good, you wouldn't let so and so happen in my life. If you were a good God, you would never allow this to happen, because I don't see any good in it. And this is where we have faith. God, I don't know what you're doing. I'm in a cloud right now. I can't see 3 feet in front of me, but I'm going to keep walking because you said to, and you said you're going to lead me and guide me beside still waters, and that you're going to rescue me and bring me out of the storm, that you're going to fight the battle for me. God says, be still. You're not going to need to fight this battle. I'm going to do it. And the times in my life when I've tried to fight my own battle, it's been nothing but this. Because I'm fighting in the flesh. I'm fighting. Flesh is the world. That's basically what it is. Flesh is the world. The world's way of doing things. The world's way of thinking. The world's way of puffing themselves up and thinking they're good or doing whatever. And then we're going to go and we're going to fight them with their own weapons. It's not going to work. Our weapons are what? Not carnal, but mighty in God for bringing down strongholds. Amen. Amen. So we've got a new heart. And I hear this all the time. Well, you can't trust your heart. Well, are you a believer? Then you have a new heart. And Psalm says what? Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will do what? Give you the desires of your heart. So you can trust your heart if you're a believer. Because who is that heart is after Christ. Your mind is after Christ. So you can trust your heart. You can trust your mind. I'm not talking about your emotions. Your emotions sometimes are different. We can't trust our emotions sometimes. That's why we need to give it a little time. Amen? The new way of the Spirit. Hope. Here it is again. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And who was his name? Jesus. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Amen? New way of the Spirit. Cleanse conscience. Hebrews 9 says this, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. You have already been judged not guilty. Walk in that. Serve the living God. We have hope. We have love. We have faith. We have power. We have self-control. We have self-discipline. This is what we walk in. This is the new way of the Spirit. Prayer. The new way of the Spirit is prayer. Pray in the Spirit. Now, this doesn't mean blah, 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 blah. Crazy stuff. You know, everybody, as you start talking about the Spirit, everybody wants to make up their own definition of what the Spirit is. And start, you know, saying, oh, I was slain in the Spirit. I went to one of them Benny Hinn things. You know, and I heard him say something the other day. I was listening on social media and heard him say something the other day. He said, don't come up on the stage unless you're healed. Don't let him come up here unless you're healed. I said, could you imagine Jesus saying that to somebody? You can't come up here until you're healed. Jesus would say, get up here right now. You're healed with me. You're mine. So we are to pray in the Spirit. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for who? All the Lord's people. Guys, we are told to pray in the new way of the Spirit. We are told to pray for other believers and each other. Pray for all the Lord's people. Why? Because we need it. Because we're being attacked from all sides. 365, 24/7. Depression, doubt. Oh, you believe that Jesus thing? What about this? They found this new archaeological thing that proves that the Bible's not true. And you hear this every day. I see this more and more and more and more. Questioning, just like Satan would come and question. Did God not say? So we need the new way of the Spirit is prayer. New way of the Spirit. Who said this? Luke chapter 4. Jesus himself said this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom. There's that word freedom again. For the prisoners. And what? Recovery of sight. For the blind. Now we think of recovery of sight for the blind just being physical. And Jesus healed people physically that were blind. But more importantly, spiritually, their eyes were opened. They could say, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. And everybody's eyes, wasn't this guy blind since birth? Go get his mom and dad. Ask him. Who is this guy that opened your eyes? I don't know. He was a sinner, right? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, I was once blind, but now I see. Amen? And that's what God does to us. Open our eyes to the truth. So when the lies come in, we can go, nope. You get one thing wrong. You get one thing wrong with concerning the Lord. And I'm like, mm-mm. You're wrong. And we don't have to agree. I know we have denominations and some people, I mean, my brother believes baptism is you just have to sprinkle a little water on them. I'm like, you're missing the point. But I'm not going to sit there and argue with him and make a big deal of it. Okay, you believe in the Lord? Yep, okay. Then Jesus will explain it to you when you get up to heaven. But so Galatians 5:16 says this, and I'll close out. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here again, what's the flesh? It's that worldly stuff that comes at us. It even makes us doubt our own, you know, are we good enough? The accuser, all that stuff, the sinful passions and all that. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep them from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen? That gives us room for, guess what? Error. Does it give us an excuse? No. But it gives us room for error. Does it mean you can go do whatever you want to do? And then I ask the question, what do you want to do? You know, because everybody else says, well, you're preaching too much grace. You can't preach enough grace. Because when you're preaching grace, you're preaching Jesus. Grace upon grace. You can't preach enough of it. Because the devil wants to get you back into that performance trap. You're messing up. You're not good enough. You cannot possibly enter into the Spirit of the living God. Well, I have the Spirit of the living God living in me now. Amen? The new you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old has done what? Passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the good news, guys. The new way. Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you once again for your encouraging word. We thank you that we can walk the new way of the Spirit, Lord, and not have to walk in the old way that condemned us and cursed us basically and just was impossible for us to do. And we thank you for your grace, for your Son, Jesus Christ, enabling us to walk this way. Be with us this week as we go. In your name, Jesus' name, amen.